session number 26861, Reel 1.
Mrs. Shutt, Reel 1. Right, Mrs. Shutt, could you just tell us your full first, your name and when you were born?
Mary Shutt. They call me Mary Shutt. That's my English name. But Mary Baldessarra, really. You wanted the name before I was married, Mary Baldessarra. And I was born to 27th of the 7th, 1911.
And where were you born?
Wheatley Hill.
And can you remember the street?
Yes, it was like the front street. And the house is still there. The shop.
Now, your father was quite an interesting person. Could you just talk a little bit about him and his background?
Yes. Well, he came to England when he was 19. That would be in the 1990s, I think. 1990s, he came to England and he went to Hartlepool. And a few of them had come to England, a few of them. And he started work for somebody in the ice cream business. And he worked a few weeks and he thought, well, if I could borrow off someone and start on my own. And because he'd heard about the villages and that the mines doing well. And he thought, well, I would go there. Suppose I pushed the barrel up there. which eventually he did. And he saw what he could make a go of it. And he said to my mum, because she only had the three sons then, and he begged of her to come to Wheatley Hill. He used to commute each day to Hartlepool. And then, of course, there wasn't the buses and things like that. There was the trains, and I think he used to push the barrow all the way to Thornley and Wheatley Hill and sell it quick, the ice cream that he had. And then he used to get on the train with his barrow. It wasn't a very big barrow, you know, with the freezer in. And he did well. He did well, my dad. And he begged of me, mum, and he was telling me that this night he went down, he asked her how she'd done. He had a little shop down Hartlepool. And she said, oh, we've done very little today. Well, he said, look what I've made. And he took his jacket off, you know, and he poured the money out. Well, she said, I might come to Thornley. Right, I'll come. And she did. And shortly after that, I was born up with Wheatley Hill. Yes.
Now, your father, he was an Italian.
He was an Italian, and my mum was Italian. And my mum, I can't get to know when my mum came to England, but she came to England before him. And she had a sister and a few brothers, and they lived at Seaton Carew, not far away from Hartlepool. And that's how they got together.
Now, can you remember what part of Italy your father was from?
Sora. Sora. I've never been there. Because we went to Italy, and it was a tour, and you had to stay with your coach. You know, it passed Sora at a distance. We could just see it in the distance, but I would love to have seen it and been where he lived. And my mum belonged to Sora as well.
And what was your dad's first name?
Angelo.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
When my mum died, the war broke out in 1914, the First World War. My mum died in January, she was only 30, and I was the youngest of four children. And then my dad had to get married again. And in those days, there's arranged marriages, but his wasn't arranged really. And someone that was helping him to work, one of his employees had said, well, he said, my cousin in Italy has seven sisters, and they're good workers. If you go there, choose one. And so he did. And he saw my mum in the fields working, you know, and he thought, she looks a good, strong woman. And he said, he chose her because their dad, he wanted a son. And each girl that was born, he went mad about them. And he wanted a son. He never got a son. But anyhow, she came to England, and she didn't know any English, and she was marvellous. You know what I mean? I was only about, getting on just about three-year-old, but I didn't know much about her then. I can't remember then. But in later years, I used to think, isn't she marvellous? She makes nice dinners, and she has lovely children, and what a worker. Oh, she was a worker. You know, she would sit and be feeding the child, and she would have a glass of stout in her hand. That was the only time she sat down, feeding the child and getting her dinner. And then she was away again. She was like a little sergeant major, you know what I mean? Full of, And my dad used to send her for things, and he would say, go ask her for potatoes. Potatoes, ask her. Ask her for potatoes so that she would get to know the English language. And she was marvellous. She soon learned what was broken, of course. Broken English. Uh-huh. And she had six children. Sorry about that. But she had six children. And we like half. But we were very close, all of us. There was 10 of us all together.
Could you just go through the family from the oldest to the youngest?
Yes. The first one was Peter. But that's the English name. It's Peter Rutsch in Italian. And then there was Donato, and that's Danny. And then there was Sabadino, and that was Sab. Your dad will remember him. And then there was Sab, and then there was Mary. And then the second family was Aracilia, Alberto, Albert, Tommaso, Thomas, Frederico, Fred, Giuseppe, that was Joe the doctor, and Rosalina, my sister. So there's only two sisters of us left. All my brothers have gone. They were lovely brothers, you know. Really good.
Now, do you have any memories of the First World War? You were born just before the war.
Yes, were just very young, but I can remember when the Zeppelins came over and everybody was frightened and excited, and they wanted to be near the post office, funny enough, because the head mistress in the post office, she was getting phone calls all the time of the danger and what was going off, because Hartlepool wasn't very far away, and they were all afraid. And one of the servants that worked at our place just got me up, and she got up quick, and I was in my stocking feet. I can remember that. And
what happened?
And then the Zeppelin, they must have got a shot at it because it came down, but I didn't see it. I can't say it did, but I can't remember. And the next morning, my dad, he went down to Hartlepool to see what was left of it, you know, and all about it. And a lot of people that could get out went down to see. And Hartlepool was terribly bombarded. And then again, I stayed at my grandmother's at St. Crow part of the time, and I remember falling out of bed and crying, and she came and wrapped me in a blanket, and she took me in the fresh air just outside, and was just facing the sea. The sea was right out, you know. And she said in Italian, like, look at the birds, but they weren't, they were objects, right out on the sea, on the horizon. You could see all these, and they were bombarding Hartlepool. And that was in a bad state, Hartlepool, but they weren't bothering about St. Crew, it was only a village.
Now, during this period, you were born in Wheatley Hill, were you living in Thornley in this early, when you were 5 and 6 and so on?
Yes. I can't remember living at Wheatley Hill. We must have come shortly after we moved to Thornley. And my daddy bought like the two houses and made it one, because he was having a big family. They did have those days. They were 10 in family. That was the norm. And
and where was that?
5 Hartlepool Street. Just, you know, right in the buzz of Thornley was right. You might remember a little bit of it, but Thornley was a flourishing place. You could spend afternoon shopping down there.
Could you just describe what kind of place it was, just for the benefit of people that don't...
Well, it was... Saturday was the highlight of the week, people used to do the shopping down the street, and then at night they used to look forward to the first house, the pictures. You know, we had a new picture hall. It was built before when I was younger. And everybody used to go to the first house and then the second house, and the shops used to keep open till 10 o'clock or as long as there was a customer. And the family was good.
And it was a mining village.
And it was a mining village, and they were doing well. And that's how my dad, he'd done right, you know.
Mm-hmm. So he felt he'd made the right decision.
He made the right decision. Funny little tale about him when he first came down to put his work for this chap. And the policeman came and said he shouldn't be selling ice cream on that part of the town. And my dad, he just shook his head as much as he couldn't understand. And each time he told me, no, he just shook his head, he didn't understand.
So he could understand English when he wanted to.
That's right, when you're in Rome, there was a Roman too. And but that made his mind of like, you know, he's going to get out of it. And he must have been an orphan attorney. He had, his mind was made up that he was going to do well if he could. And he did. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, where did you go to school?
Well, I went to St. Godric's. And then when I was about 11, I went to the convent at Hartlepool, St. Joseph's.
Now, just staying with St. Godric's, uh-huh. What kind of place was that? What kind of school was that?
I never liked it. None of us did really like school. I don't think anybody liked school. It was you didn't like the teachers much. And it was, the discipline was too harsh. They're afraid of them.
What kind of, how would they discipline you?
Well, I used to wear earrings because my mother, when I was a little baby, she must have had these earrings, made for earrings, you know, holes in them. And the girls used to come and pull them off, and, oh, I had a sore ear. So my dad says, stop wearing those earrings, Mary. And they're really good, bad. And this teacher, when she came in on the morning, if her neck was red, we knew she was in a bad mood. And I didn't know she was coming around looking down at people's work, you know. She was behind me. She didn't know I had a bad ear. It was just beginning to get better. And she pulled me here. Oh, and the blood gushed her. It rushed out, you know. And she thought she'd done it. But she hadn't. She had, in a way. But it was getting better. And I didn't make it any, I didn't tell her nothing about it. I just thought, let her think what she wants. Good, she'll not touch me anymore. And they were very strict with the boys, you know. They used to get six of the best, and the stick used to have. I don't know
what
they had.
What would they get the cane for? What would it be for?
Well, the least be thing. And I met one of the chaps sitting, we were waiting for a bus then, not long ago, about a year ago. And he said, I did a lot of things at school, but I did a lot of things I got wrong for a lot of things I didn't do. And he said, if ever I meet that headmaster in Durham, I'm going to hit him. And we met him a few months after that. He says, do you know, he says, I saw that fella in Durham. He says, well, he's a little old man. He says, I can't touch him. you know, the talk. And it was amusing, but it was sad. Because he'd been badly done to, you know.
Were the girls, were they caned as well, or was it just the boys?
Not so much, but there was only one day I can remember, and we were in the classroom, we were all quiet when this teacher was telling us off, you know, about anything, and she was telling this girl off, and nobody answered her ever. And she was just like getting her breath, the teacher, and what she was going to do to this girl. And this girl says, and it's more than you dare do. We were horrified. Oh, the class was, you know, we dare speak. And she had to go to the headmaster. I don't know what she goes. She'd get the stick. And that's the only time I've heard anybody answer back. But I didn't like that school.
Were there any good teachers? Teachers that you thought were good at
they
the school.
They say you never forget your teachers. And there was one, Miss O'Donnell, and she was married and she had a family. and she was very understanding, and she was like a mother. She was lovely, you know. And Miss Keaveney, she was Irish. And I remember one day I went and I had some infection in my eye and I couldn't open my eye, and they had to take my little brother by the hand to school, and no time to get my eye done. And I got to school and this eye was closed, and she took and she bathed my eye and she made it nice and clean, you know. And those things you remember, don't you? I do.
And were there any among the other teachers who was the like the one that stood out because you just didn't get on?
No, you couldn't get on with her, no.
Who was the headmaster?
The headmaster was Mr. Boney, and he was good. A lot of people didn't like him. But I never got the stick. That was the only harm that was ever done to me, and that teacher. But I never got the stick.
What were your favourite subjects?
Well, I liked English and I liked history, but I didn't like maths. I couldn't get away with maths, you know what I mean? And they were the two of my best subjects, yeah.
Now, you mentioned you went to the convent at Hartlepool.
Yes.
About how many of the class went to the convent and how many didn't? What was the...
Well, there was two a bit older than me. There were two sisters. And one was Miss, well, they were both called me Hart. You might remember them, I don't know. No. Lena Hart and Katie Hart. And they went to the convent, and they eventually were teachers. And they had known Catholic girls from round about here going there as well. And you know, we used to have to walk from Thornley to the old station that's right down. You know where the old station is? We had to be there by 8 o'clock to get the train to Hartlepool, and then we had a long walk from there up to the convent. So by the time we got, 9 o'clock, we'd been up for a long time.
And that was the Thornley station, past Whately Hill?
It's right out. It's not there now, but it's the industrial estate. It's like at the crossroads. Well, it's further on than that.
So how, in terms of a day at the school at Hartlepool, what time would you get back home on a night?
It was about 5 o'clock, but I wasn't there long. You see, you left school, you could leave school at 14, and I didn't care for school much. My dad, by this time, he had the shops, and he was pleased because I didn't like school, that I could help out in the shop. And so that was good. I thought, well, all right, it's not what I want to do. I didn't want to be in the shop. I wanted to be a hairdresser, and I wanted to be a nurse, and I wanted to be a nun. So anyway, I went into the shop, and I used to say to my dad, because we used to be open till 12 o'clock on a Saturday night, we had to wait till 10 o'clock at night before we got any real business. The pubs turning out, the dancers turning out, and they used to come in and get it. It was a temperance bar. That's what it was, you know. They used to get oxo and drink and ice cream. And I used to say, get a bit fed up at times. And my dad would say, you're all right. You think of them in jail, you're better off than them. You know, that was all through his life. He used to say, think to myself, and you can't get over you do that.
So what did your dad sell in his shop? It was drinks and...
Drinks and you could get a hot drink or in sweets galore and ice cream mostly, because he's so lovely ice cream. It was all the best in it. Eggs and everything, you know. It was noted for his ice cream.
Now, do you remember anything about the general strike and how that...
I can't remember. I remember of it. And I can remember they were going through a bad time, you know. But I can't remember much about it.
So it didn't really affect your dad's business?
Well, it would a little, because they hadn't the money, you see. They hadn't the money, they couldn't spend it. And, of course, and he had a big family. But it was later on when... the war came that it affected his businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes,
we'll get that.
I can remember that.
Now, so So you were brought up as a Catholic.
Oh, yes.
Was there any kind of tension between the Catholics and the Protestants in the village?
Well, I'll tell you what I remember mostly was, because the young men used to come in the shop, and if there was any of them non-Catholics and they were going to marry a Catholic girl, there was war on in the family, you know, and they used to call them proddy dogs and Catholic dogs. And in later years, say about 20 years ago, you weren't supposed to go to any service that wasn't Catholic. And it didn't seem so long ago. We went next door, was having a wedding, and this Catholic woman and I, we were asked to go. And we weren't, we could go to the wedding, but we had to take part into the service. We couldn't sing, and we wanted to sing. And then the unity. There was a lot of them, the Methodists, that wanted unity, and that's the biggest thing that's happened in the religious world, because they've achieved it, because now a priest can, non-Catholic priest can, to go to each other's churches and give a service.
But that was frowned on.
That's an absolute marvellous thing to happen, because when you think of the martyrs, it's not that long ago, you know what I mean. In life before us, it must have been terrible.
Now, just going back to the school period, you went to the convent, and you left school.
Uh-huh.
What did other people do, your friends at this period? What were they thinking about doing, and what did they do? And
well,
does any kind of friends stand out?
We had a good life, and I didn't envy them. In a way, I did. My dad never liked dances or anything like that, and they used to love the hops, you know, the Saturday night hops. Good, he used to have a good time. And my dad would never let me go. He was never one to say, no, you're not. He was very gentle, and things like that. My dad, he was a very gentle man. So I never had much life, in my teen life, you know, that I was never out to get a day off. I mean, it was maybe on your birthday.
Now, think about the boys at the school, and obviously there was the Godric School, and you went to the convent. About how many of them do you think was there like a kind of grammar school kind of place for them to go to?
Yes, there was only about two. There was Tommy English, he went to the grammar school, and Calligan, I don't know his first name. That was the two that went. That went to grammar school, but it was unheard of. I think there was only one in Thornley went to the university, and it was all the talk that he had gone to university, you know, we were proud of him.
Can you remember who that was?
Yeah, it was somebody called Anderson. Yes.
So what did the boys do when they left school? What was the career options?
Mostly the pits. It was sad. They used to perhaps leave on the Friday night, down the pit on the Monday. My aunt used to ache for them because they used to come in the shop. There was no pithead baths then, and they were tired and as black as crows, but they came for a packet of woodbines. You know what I mean? They were killing them. We didn't know then, because it wasn't talked about, smoking, it was a killer, like it is now. And that's why they all died early. They really did. Because it was through the work, they were breathing in the fumes of the coal, and coal dust was in, and they weren't supposed to wash the backs, you know. Everything was so different.
Now, you mentioned the cinema.
Uh-huh.
About how often would you go to the cinema, and was that? Was
well, they had they changed what was on twice a week. You know, I used to go to the pictures, and I used to like them. I used to like the pictures. And then, of course, there were the silent pictures, you know. And I always remember walking down the aisle when the talkies come in. It was like, it was a funny feeling when I hear these voices and the nature coming in, you know. It was eerie, like. And one of the women, elderly women, you know, because they used to wear the men's caps, and they used to have a shawl around and some big skirts on. And they said, when the musicals came to Thornley, I said, well, where did that all stop in Thornley? It was amusing, you know, because they couldn't get over it. And Al Johnson, he was great.
Yeah. Now, at this period in the village, what was the cinema? Was it? Can you just remember which one it was? In the silent period.
Yes, it was the Hippodrome down Thornley.
And that was the only one at that
period? That was the only one.
Now, other people have talked about the silent days. Apparently there was quite a few people in the village who couldn't read.
That's right.
How did that...
Yes, I would get somebody to read to them, you know, because it was funny, you
so
know.
So they weren't really silent? Silent
no,
to watch?
No. They had people reading it, because you used to do it in reading. See, we've seen so many changes, you know.
Now, you mentioned your dad's business on the front street.
Uh-huh.
Can you just describe the other businesses that were on that main street in the village at that time? Because obviously there's hardly any of that there now at all.
Yeah, there was just on our little lot, there was the post office. We had everything, the butcher's shop, the grocer's shop where Sid worked, and then we had this chap, and he was selling all sorts, like pans and all sorts. And then there was our shop, Baldessarra's, and then next to that was, used to sell records and all sorts of policemen, I think. They used to sell the records and that. And then there was Walter Wilson's, that was like provisions. And then there was the bank. It was just a house, but the bank was there. And then there was a butcher's shop, just in a small, not very big, from about this shop, this house to the end of there. There were all these shops. And then there was a lot more, but I'm just saying them that was in our block. And... Oh, I love Thornley, and we had carnivals on every year.
Could you describe that?
Yes, and they were lovely, and they came from all arts to Thornley, you know, all the villages around. And Sid, of course, he won 3 prizes each year run for his window dressing. And he wasn't trained or anything to do this. You know, it was just because he's a perfectionist, and he is. And
Mm-hmm. Sid, your future husband, could you just describe what shop he worked for?
It was a greengrocer's shop, and when you went in, you could smell the coffee. He used to grind his own coffee, you know, and they sold everything, bacon and butter and everything. It was a good going shop, yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, apparently there was the miners' gala every year, the so-called big meeting.
Yeah.
Did that have any effect on your dad's business? Did he make any special preparations for that, or was it just another normal day?
Just another normal day. He didn't say, because he had a few horses and carts, you know, and they ended up in him having the van as the years went on, you know. And he used to love his horses.
Did he go to that?
Well, he didn't. He used to send the lads, you know, as he got older, and he used to like plan everything for them, where to go, and if there was any shows on or anything like that. But I don't think they went to Durham Big Meeting. He was always frightened in case there was an accident, and he'd always say when somebody come on, boss, the lads have had an accident. He'd say, is the horse all right? And he loved his sons, you know, and his house, all right.
Now, when did he start with the wagons? Were they always there?
They were always there. I cannot remember them not being there. That was part of it, because the sons went out selling ice cream, and the other two sons, that was Danny and Arisi, they were the businessmen, if you know what I mean.